And joining us on the phone right now is Sarah Stonett. Sarah is the author of four books, three works of fiction and one memoir. The most recent is Vacation Land, which really has just been released. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm really good. I don't know if you remember this, but I think I'm correct. I remember less correctly the older I get, but I believe that back about 12 years ago, right after you wrote or released these Granite Islands, I think we interviewed you on this program.
I
don't expect you to remember that, other than that I'm sure it was the pinnacle of your literary career when that happened.
Yeah.
It's kind of gone down. At any rate, I also want to tell you that I just loved Vacation Land. I think, you know, every once in a while something happens. We get a really unexpected treasure, and that's what your book is. It's just terrific.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, it's true. But my first question, what I want to know is, what is Plinky?
Oh, Plinky is sort of that new age kind of precious, you know, sometimes a yoga teacher might have it, that kind of Plinky.
Oh, I came across it twice in your book, and I looked it up, and I can't find it anywhere.
If it's not a word yet, it should be.
I see, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll let Merriam-Webster know that they better get that in there. I'm kind of at a loss. I was talking about your book to some people today, as a matter of fact, and they said, well, what is it, a novel? And I said, I said, it's almost more like a collection of short stories that are all centered around this one resort in northern Minnesota with characters that kind of go in and out of each other's short stories. Is that even close to right? How would you describe your book?
Well, it's interconnected stories, and yes, they do. They pivot on the same sort of geographical point, and the point is Naledi, which is this sort of once thriving fishing resort, and multiple characters sort of thread one chapter to another, and each thread somehow to the main character, the protagonist, Meg, who shows up in pretty much every story. And one of the inspirations for that sort of structure was the idea of, I had this image in my mind of the guest book at a resort, if you can imagine it on the counter.
Sure.
With all of the names in it. And when I was writing this, I was thinking about kind of leafing back and forth through those pages from the time of the sort of inception of the resort, which would have been around 1940. Through its salad days, and then now, when there's really only two cabins left. And originally, it had novel on the cover of the advanced reader's copy, and I asked my editor to take that off because I want people to interpret it the way that they want. If they want to call it a novel, it's a novel. If they see it as stories, then it's stories.
And it almost, even though you're, you know, I was generally aware that it was fiction. There were times when I almost felt it was so personal that it was more than that. But it, even though it's stories, even though it's fiction, even though it's a novel, if somebody wants to do that, it's really close to a memoir.
In a way, I would say so. It's at least close to my heart, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are tiny experiences of mine that are in there. I was doing an interview the other day, and a woman asked me about the fisheye jewelry, and she said, is that even a real thing? and my response was, yes, I've made it. Which, if you don't know it, and don't try this at home, but if you boil fish eyes, there's a little sort of pearly thing that will pop out, and as a teenager, I made little bits of jewelry out of these things.
Well, and obviously, one of the reasons that the book is so enjoyable is because there is a true connection. In fact, I read today something that I realized, that's one of the reasons why I like the book so much. I think this was in an interview that you did, but you talked about the fact that there are plenty of books that are written about the northern Minnesota or the Boundary Waters or the Northwoods experience. you know, northern lights and canoes and misty mornings and all of that. Mm-hmm. But precious little written about the people who live and work on the way to that. And that's what this book is a lot about, is those people that live on the way or around the resort.
And the people who sort of support that infrastructure,
yes,
of the towns and all of the businesses that make it possible for these vacationers to, you know, go to these places and have this amazing 2 weeks, you know, that they might go home and write about, you know, the Northern Lights and the loons and all of those things. But yeah, I wanted to have the book be from varying perspectives. Visitors, proprietors, locals, you know, the beer truck driver, the bait shop guy.
Yeah. This is obviously different than any of your other books. Two of your other books were novels. Mm-hmm. One was a memoir. The structure of this book is entirely different. And I understand what you said in terms of the register, but did you start out to write this book as this interwoven collection of stories?
I didn't, not at first. It was just a few short stories, and I realized that in my fiction, I kind of kept going back to the same place for inspiration. And then I thought, well, let's just make it a book. And although the stories do stand on their own as complete stories, they do. As the reader, you'll be able to go through and find a character in one story that you're going to encounter later. You're going to visit the same places, maybe, that you've seen earlier in the book. And it's nice for the reader to be able to put these things together as sort of a jigsaw, I guess.
And
I wanted to give the reader the credit for having the smarts to put the whole book together.
Yeah. And it was, what I found myself doing was thinking, oh, yeah, I met him before, and then go back to another story. Oh, yeah, there he is, or there she is. And if I was having trouble figuring out the relationship, and then to go back and do that, and I really enjoyed that. You write in one of the stories, Hesitation, a woman that is, in fact, Polly, who is a writer, says that what novelists do is they just make up people who interest them and set them in places one might yearn to live or explore. Is that what you did? Is that what you do?
Yes, exactly. And very thinly veiled. Polly is sort of the writer that I am. Writers tend to live vicariously through their fiction. One of the characters I also live vicariously through is Meg, who is a painter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm personally a failed painter. But almost every one of my books has a painter in it. So I get to be a painter for as long as I'm writing a book. It turned out I was a better writer than painter.
Ah.
So I don't actually do it anymore myself. But and as far as Polly is concerned, one of the joys of being a writer is being able to exist in a place, again, you know, for the length of the time that it takes to write a book. You might as well surround yourself with interesting characters that intrigue you, sometimes make you angry, but that keep your attention and keep your focus and challenge you.
We're visiting with Sarah Stonich. Sarah is the most recently the author of Vacation Land, and in fact, which we will be talking about in just a few minutes, is headed to the Northland to talk to folks about her book. John Irving said, claims to, this is true, the novelist, that he writes the last sentence of his book first, that he works his books backwards. How do you do it?
Well, lucky him. I don't know how you would do that. I don't start and write all the way through. I don't know any writer, actually, that does that. And, you know, I'm a bit ADD, so I might work on one story and go work on another. And until I put these stories in order, I did not know where they went.
Hmm.
I did not know in what order that they were going to go. So, yeah, I know kind of how a story is going to play out. And so that was interesting for me to take singular stories and then make them make sense in a chronology, which I think they do. But I can, you know, and I can kind of understand why you would want to write the last sentence first. I just don't know how you could.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of books actually start with some image or an idea, and they carry it through. And maybe some of the last few sentences might have something about it. And in this case, it's a severed hand.
Oh, right, right.
Which, and that appears in the very first paragraph of the book. And within the last two pages, you don't really hear much about it in between. But in the last two pages, you see Meg, what happened to it.
Yeah, Meg, give me a hand.
I'm not going to give it away.
No, don't. And I'll try not to either. I don't think that you could write about the people, about the place, or the place without a pretty significant, a real connection. In this case, to northeastern Minnesota. You are a Minnesota author, but what's the root of your connection to the Northland?
Well, my grandparents were from Ely. My grandfather was the tailor, and my grandmother was a seamstress. And readers who've read my other books may understand that from my novel, These Granite Islands, which had a character that was a tailor and a seamstress in a small town. And they lived in Ely and raised 10 kids there. One of my connections to it is sort of a stubbornness to not let the name die out, because even though my dad was one of 10 siblings, none of them stayed there for, you know, either economic reasons or getting married. But most of them left the state, and all of them left the town because they couldn't be sustained by it. And so I felt this connection, and that I wanted to have that, not just for myself, but for my son, to have this heritage and this sort of legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And we did build a small cabin together, and that's kind of chronicled in my book, Shelter. But it's one of these love-hate relationships, like maybe this spring, perhaps, when there's still ice on the lake.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah, and the next thing that's going to happen, it would be the black flyhatch.
Well, hopefully we've got some decent weather decent sea in between those two things. But
yeah, I hope so.
And so how much time are you still able to spend up in the Northland?
More time. Like this year, I've bought a propane generator, so I'm going to have more electricity.
Ah.
So I'll be able to stay for longer periods of time. Last fall, when we had kind of an early dark fall, It was hard to be there because I wasn't having enough electricity to have lights at night.
Yeah.
For very long. And so I'm working with a headlamp and oil lamps, and my heated mattress pad kind of conks out at 3 a.m. because I've used up the juice. But this year, I'm all set.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I also have a new propane heater for my little cabin. I have two very tiny cabins.
Is that a place where you do much writing?
It was originally intended to just be a writing studio, but I think anyone who lives in a situation like that, where there's not a whole lot of amenities, they find out that their days are taken up.
You're too busy.
Hauling water.
Yep.
Chopping wood.
Too busy just
doing all the maintenance, you know, taking care of the roof, doing dishes, heating water for dishes.
Yeah.
That you're doing outside.
Yeah.
I do not as much writing up there as I would like to.
You know, reviews that appear on dust jackets and websites and so forth, sometimes I find are a little over the top with hyperbole and so forth. And I was reading one about your book that, you know, by turns funny, haunting, heartbreaking. And yet all of those are true. And the heartbreaking one especially, and again, I'm not going to give it away, but the story that you wrote about the parents on the airplane, I got to tell you, I couldn't keep reading after that. I had to stop. It was It was one of the most powerful pieces of writing that I've ever read.
Oh, wow.
And I can't imagine how you could have written it, how anybody could write that. With, you know, I don't know how you can, you know, get it like that. I get...
Well, we writers, you know, we make stuff up. And I had really worked on it on an airplane.
Oh, do you? Really?
Yeah. I mean, the idea came to me when I was on an airplane and we were having bad turbulence. And I thought, what if I had 5 minutes? What would be going through my brain at this moment? And interestingly enough, that story, I love that story, but it's not one of the ones that makes me cry.
Oh, yeah. Well, interesting. I was talking to, I think it might have been Anne, our producer, who I believe was reading the book and reading that story when she was on a plane and had to quit reading it.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
tell her I'm sorry.
I was also impressed by the fact that, and again, it was something else that what I really enjoyed about the book is that every once in a while I'd read something and just think, wow, that was really, I got to stop and read that again. In one of the last stories, you say the phrase, the earth heals quickly here. And I think only somebody that has spent time in the Northland because of things like fire and wind and so many other things realized that the earth does heal quickly here. And I think that's important for people to know.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Now, you have already set out on one would be really an understatement by calling an ambitious book tour.
Yeah.
I was on your website today reading this, and my gosh, in this month, you're on the road all the time.
Yes, I am. And in some days, I do 3 libraries.
Right, right.
And I'll be crisscrossing the Arrowhead first with 17 libraries, not necessarily in any order that makes sense as far as the map goes or the crow flies.
That's what I was thinking, too.
I added up my mileage, and it's about 1,500 miles.
Now, is this
just in the Arrowhead?
Is this something that you decide to do, or is this your publicist that says, "Oh, by the way, you're going to spend the next month driving"?
I have opportunities to go other places, and I will go other places. But I felt it was important for me to take this book north. That's the most intensive tour that I'm going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Northland. I want to connect with the people who are reading the book, who this is their home. I want to see how they react to it. I want to see if I got it right.
Well, I've got to first of all, I want to let people know that if you want to find out what the schedule is, if you're hearing this someplace other than Grand Marais, go to Sarah's website, which is simply sarahstonich.com. But you will be in Grand Marais on the 20th of May at 3 o'clock here at the Grand Marais Public Library. And just for the heck of it, I went on the Arrowhead Library System, which includes almost all of the cities that you're going to be going to.
Mm-hmm.
And as near as I can tell, the system has 20 or 21 copies of your book. They're all checked out, and they have about 15 requests. So apparently people are reading it and getting it.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing.
Yes. And down here in the metro, there was, at one point that I looked, there were 338 requests.
Wow.
Which, you know, for a writer, that just warmed the cockles of my heart.
I would think that it would.
Yeah. The people are waiting for it. I'm hoping that they wait so long and then they can't stand it anymore and they go out and buy it.
They go out and buy it, absolutely.
Yeah.
So do you have, and we don't have a whole lot of time left, which I wish we did, but it sounds also like that if you're working on one book, you might be working on another one too. Are you working on something right now?
I'm working on 2 books of my own, and then I have A Nom de Plume, Ava Finch, and I'm working with her as well. She's sort of my alter ego.
Why do writers do that?
I'm doing it because I want to write in a much different style, be edgier and a little more brash, and just have a fresh name out there.
Hmm.
It's a completely different style of writing, and I don't want it to interfere really with my serious literary writing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have been visiting with Sarah Stonich. She is a, that's not true. I was going to say you're a Minnesota author. You're an author who just happens to reside in the state of Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
but who writes about northern Minnesota with, at least for me, a skill and a knowledge that I've not found elsewhere. Her latest book is Vacation Land. On public radio, we're not supposed to issue calls of action, But I think people ought to read this book. And I want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us. Thanks so much for the book.
Oh, it was good talking to you, Bob.
You too. Take care.